Well, it's really not that hard to lose someone. Paul Harvey had the story I heard a couple years ago of a husband and wife and a couple of kids that were driving through Oklahoma, and the father was in the driver's seat, the mom was in the back with the kids, and a couple of kids in the car seats, and he stopped to get gas, and while he was pumping the gas, he didn't realize his wife had gone in to use the restroom. After he finished pumping gas, he got back into the car and he drove 50 miles before he realized that somebody was missing. And so you can see how embarrassing it is as he turned around and drove back 50 miles to the gas station where she was waiting. And she was not a happy camper, as they say. She was very upset. But it is easy to lose someone. In today's gospel, we have the episode where the Lord deliberately stayed behind in Jerusalem, beginning his public ministry. But after Mary and Joseph found him, he went back and was obedient to them. So there's a great deal of truths and great deal of beauty in today's gospel, the finding in the temple. We all know this passage very well. Hopefully we meditate upon this when we pray our joyful mystery of the rosary. This is the fifth joyful mystery of the rosary. And what can we learn from this passage? First of all, it says that every year the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem on pilgrimage to celebrate the feast of the Passover. Now, what's interesting to note is that this was about a 100-mile journey. Now, they were not obliged to go. If you live within a 15-mile radius, as a Jewish family, you'd be obliged to go to the temple to celebrate the Passover. But if you live further than that, you were not obliged to go. And yet it shows what a devout, holy Jewish family they were, that they were going to the Feast of the Passover every single year, as was their custom. On this occasion, Jesus is now 12 years of age, growing into manhood. And it says that he deliberately stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. Well, how could he have done this? Well, it's interesting to learn how these pilgrimages took place. When people would travel, especially great distances like 100 miles, they would travel by way of caravans. They would have all sorts of animals and all their relatives, the aunts, the uncles, the nephews, the cousins, would all gather together and they'd travel. All the neighbors would go together. It'd be much safer for them to travel that way. And usually the women would walk together and they would catch up and socialize, and the men would walk together and the kids would sort of go back and forth and between the parents, between the mothers and the fathers. And after the feast day of the Passover was over in Jerusalem, the men and women would leave the city through separate gates, a certain gate that the men would exit from, another gate that the women would exit from. The kids could go either with the mother or the father. And this was the Lord's chance. This was the Lord's chance to be able to stay behind and begin preaching and going to the temple. So the Lord knew this was his opportunity. And so he stayed behind to begin his father's business. His father's business is referring to his heavenly father's business of teaching people the word of God. So it's only after the first night that Joseph and Mary realized Jesus is not in the caravan. Because as you were traveling and walking, they looked for him, it says, among their acquaintances and relatives. And it was only when they would pitch camp that first night that the kids would wind up with the parents. And then they realized he was not there. And so they had to wait, I'm sure, till the next morning to begin the journey back. It was very unsafe to travel at night in those days. And so they arrive back in Jerusalem. They're a day away. It takes a day to get back. And that's why they find him on the third day in the temple. And that certainly would have been the first place they would have looked. It wasn't like they went to all the other pizza places and things like that first. They probably went right to the temple. And that's where they found him in the courtyard. And think of the anxiety that filled the heart of Joseph and Mary to lose their son. And this was not an ordinary son. This was Mary's son. This was the Son of God. And I'm sure she said to Joseph, "Honey, I really thought he was with you." And I'm sure he said, well, honey, I thought he was with you. I mean, how can you lose God after all, right? It's a very serious matter when God's Son is entrusted to your care. Imagine how Joseph felt. He was the foster father. He was the provider. He was the one that was supposed to be keeping an eye on things. And this was Mary's son, who was the Son of God. And so think of their anxiety. It'd be like losing a child in New York City or in Los Angeles or in Washington, D.C. Think of all the dangers that would be present in those big cities. So they find him in the courtyard. This is where the rabbis hung out, and this is where they would preach and teach and talk about theology. And it says people were astounded at Jesus' understanding and his answers, even at this young age of 12. So Joseph and Mary find him, and the Blessed Mother speaks up, because that is, it's her child. Joseph is the foster father, but Mary speaks up. And this is, again, very uncommon in those days to have a woman speak publicly in a public place. And yet, because she is the Lord's mother, she says, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. I love it how she calls Joseph the father. Your father and I, even though Joseph was the foster father, the guardian, the caretaker, he was spiritually the father of Jesus in every way except for physical generation, except for biological generation. He was truly the father. When a father adopted a child in those days, it had all those legal rights and the authority of a real father. And so it says, your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. And here we have Jesus' first recorded words in the New Testament. The first time Jesus ever speaks that's recorded in Scripture. He says, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? Now, the more accurate translation is, I must be about my Father's business. He's referring to his heavenly Father's business. I am beginning my public ministry. I must be about the work of my heavenly Father. And this shows us a couple things. First of all, it shows us that Jesus knew exactly who he was, that he was the Son of God. He knew it even at this young age. He knew it from his earliest days. He certainly knew it at the age of 12, that he must be about his Father's business. And it says that Joseph and Mary didn't understand what he was saying to them. Now, I'm sure they were certainly shocked that he was willing to start his public ministry at such a young age. But the next sentence, I think, is so important. It says, after that, Jesus came down with them and went to Nazareth and was obedient to them. So evidently, Joseph and Mary did not think that this was the best time for him to begin his public ministry. And they must have told him that because he did not stay in Jerusalem. He could have stayed in Jerusalem and began preaching and getting to know the crowds and teaching and even working miracles, but he didn't do that. He was obedient to Joseph and Mary. That's a great example for all the kids today, that they're called to be obedient to their parents. And remember, Jesus is the Son of God. He's God. His parents are human beings. So he is far greater authority than they do. And yet, he was respectful and obedient to them. Once he knew that this was their wishes, he came down with them, and he would spend the next 18 years with his parents, Joseph and Mary, working in the carpenter shop. And it wasn't until Mary said, work your first miracle, that Jesus went public. And that was at the wedding feast of Cana. Even at the wedding feast of Cana, when Mary says they have no more wine, Jesus says, my hour has not yet come, namely to do my first miracle and to go public. Mary says, yes, now is the time. And she tells the waiters, do whatever he tells you. And so she sends the waiters to Jesus, and that's his sign to begin his public ministry. And so he worked his first miracle at the Blessed Mother's request. That's how much respect and obedience he had towards Mary and towards Joseph. even though he is far greater as God, he was still obedient to his parents. And that's a great message for family life today, to have peace and harmony in the family, have the children be especially respectful and obedient to the parents. It says, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. We see the Blessed Mother as the perfect model of prayer, that she knows what it's like to meditate upon the Word of God. So she's our example. When we read the Bible, which we should do every day, we should reflect like Mary and treasure these moments in our heart. Then it says, the Lord advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. Well, how can Jesus grow in wisdom if he's the Son of God? Well, the Catechism says Jesus had three kinds of wisdom. He had beatific knowledge, he had infused knowledge, and he had experiential knowledge. Beatific knowledge is the vision of the Father. And Jesus always had the beatific vision, always, during his entire lifetime. And that is knowledge that cannot grow. You either have that beatific vision of God or you don't. We will have that in heaven. Jesus had that on earth. Infused knowledge is the knowledge that the prophets had. What Jesus grew in was called acquired knowledge, or common everyday experience, experiential knowledge, and that's the kind that he could grow in. So this particular gospel, I think, on this feast day of the Holy Family, teaches us really that, look, the Holy Family had difficulties. They had trials. They had hardships. And so we cannot expect to be free from those as well. If the Holy Family had to go through some difficulties, then when we go through them as well, we can draw strength and comfort from the Holy Family. Now, Joseph and Mary did not lose God through sin. We, though, can often do that. See, when Mary never sinned during her lifetime, so she never knew what it was like to lose God through sin. However, she did lose God for 3 days, so she knows what it feels like to lose God in her life, even though she never sinned. When we sin and lose God, where do we go to find Jesus? Well, they found him in the temple, and we find Jesus in his temple of the church. When we sin, when we stray, when we lose God through sin, we come back and we find Jesus in the temple of the church by going to confession, having our sins forgiven, that we get God back into our life, back into our soul, and then we receive him in Holy Eucharist. So this is a good example in today's scripture, that just as they found Jesus in the church, so that's where we find Jesus as well, in the sacraments of reconciliation and the sacraments of the Eucharist. And you might know people that are lost spiritually. You might know people that have drifted away from God. There's always hope. Keep praying for them. Keep persevering. Mary and Joseph kept looking for the Lord until they found him. And if you've lost somebody, let's say a son or daughter has left the faith, or a grandchild has left the faith, don't give up. Keep praying for them. And eventually, they'll find their true home in the church, and they'll come back to God. So on this beautiful feast day of the Holy Family, let's pray for all of our families. Let's pray for husbands and wives and children, that they'll be united in love and peace and harmony. Even when you have difficulties, even when you have hardships, the Holy Family had their struggles, their pain, their suffering, their hardship, and yet everything worked out in the end. And that is a comfort and consolation when families go through difficult times as well, that the Lord is there to get them through every difficulty. God bless you.